From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. For the ninth time, the House has passed a bill to authorize the construction of the Keystone XL pipeline. As NPR's Elsa Chang reports, the Senate will be voting on its own bill next Tuesday, but it may not have enough votes to be sent to the president's desk.
The Keystone bill will need 60 votes next Tuesday to clear the Senate. All 45 Republicans support the bill, but most Democrats oppose it, even though pipeline supporters argue Keystone could create tens of thousands of jobs. If the Senate does pass the bill, President Obama may very well veto it. He's skeptical it will create so many jobs and says it won't lower gas prices in the U.S.
Understand what this project is. It is providing the ability of Canada to pump their oil, send it through our land down to the Gulf, where it will be sold everywhere else. It doesn't have an impact on U.S. gas prices.
But the White House has not explicitly issued a veto threat. Elsa Chang, NPR News, the Capitol.
In Baghdad, two car bombs struck in busy Shiite areas of the city, killing at least 14 people. NPR's Alice Fordham reports one attack struck a popular cafe.
The bombings happened in northern Baghdad. Most of those killed were gathered at a cafe. Despite the ongoing violence in Iraq, street life is vibrant, and people commonly meet up and socialize in the cool fall evenings. No group claimed responsibility, but such attacks against Baghdad's majority Shiite population are typically done by Sunni extremists from the so-called Islamic State, or their allies. The attacks came after a few weeks of relative calm in Baghdad, possibly related to the overrunning of an Islamic State-dominated area south of the city by Shiite militias allied with the government. Alice Fordham, NPR News, Baghdad.
The comet-riding Philae lander has executed an important scientific experiment, drilling into the crust of the comet to extract materials believed to be more than 4 billion years old. Additionally, the lander managed to shift its position to draw more solar energy, two tough maneuvers for a craft that had made a rough landing 311 million miles from Earth. Meanwhile, it seems that social media has created a situation where even space mission physicists need a little image management. At the time of the widely broadcast celebrations this week, British physicist Matt Taylor was spotted in a bowling shirt with a print of pin-up girls, and some viewers complained. At a news conference today, he tearfully apologized.
The shirt I wore this week, I made a big mistake, and I offended many people. And I'm very sorry about this.
He had switched to a dark blue space agency hoodie. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average off 18, NASDAQ up 8. This is NPR. The Dutch government is under fire from European Union regulators who accuse it of giving Starbucks a sweetened tax arrangement. Terry Schultz has more.
The EU Competition Commissioner has made public a dossier that justifies its preliminary opinion that Starbucks' tax deal in the Netherlands gave it an unfair and illegal advantage over rivals. In a 40-page letter to the Dutch government, EU regulators allege Starbucks was allowed to move money around among subsidiaries and declare profits at an artificially low tax rate in the Netherlands. The company's kept its European headquarters there until this year, when it will move to London. If the commission finds the arrangement to have been illegal, Starbucks could be liable for back taxes. Similar deals with major multinational firms are under investigation in several other countries, including Belgium and Luxembourg. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
The Arctic blast that's gripped much of the nation was a shock to man and beast alike. And in Denver, Colorado, one small feline was lucky to have been found by a sympathetic human. A three-month-old kitten was discovered tangled in electric wires on a Denver porch and delivered to an animal rescue shelter called the Denver Dumb Friends League. Here's spokeswoman Megan Reese.
When she first got here, her temperature was not even registering on our thermometers, and that those start to read at 90 degrees, so we know it was somewhere below 90. A normal temperature for a kitten like this is about 101.5.
Hot water bottles, booties, and a super warm blanket revived the kitten. And the kitten will probably be up for adoption. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.